Very good afternoon to you. It's just gone 12 midday and you're listening to Talk and Tunes with Timmy on UCC 98.3 FM. Now, try not to break down in tears, but this is in fact the final edition of Talk and Tunes with Timmy for this year. 4 whole months without Talk and Tunes. How will ye cope? Please do not resort to drugs and alcohol. It's never a good idea. I will be back on the air in September, I promise. I'm not sure yet what form this will take. It's yet to be seen. Will I keep the name? Will I introduce permanent co-hosts? Will I have to give up some of the spotlight? Shivers, just saying it. I do think that there will be some changes, but changes for the better. I've learned so much from my time on the air this year. After hosting over 20 live shows, I think I'm starting to get an idea of what works and what doesn't work, and I'll be keeping in mind all of that when I do a bit of radio brainstorming over the summer before we come back in September. So anywho, this show is simply a see you later rather than a goodbye. And what a show it will be. I thought it would be really fun to go back and have a look at all the Talkin' Tunes with Timmy shows that I've done this year. Over 20 live shows. In the playlist in front of me, I have about 12 of the podcasted shows. I didn't have a selection of all of the shows I did this year because some just didn't get uploaded. They haven't been uploaded yet. I'm going to try and get into the podcast studio and get all those uploaded before we finish up for the summer. So you'll have some Talking Tunes to keep you going over the summer for our regular listeners on the Spotify podcast channel. But yeah, basically, it's really fun. I've gotten all these kind of some little clips, some longer clips of the shows that I've done this year, with all the different guests and all the different topics and themes, and yeah, I'm really excited about it. I really loved putting it together. It gave me a chance to go back and listen to all the shows I've done this year. And it's mad to look back and kind of see all the things that happened. I've got so many different interviews with really interesting guests. The friends I've got to have on and have conversations with them on the air, it's been really special. I suppose we're just gonna go straight into it. This first one is a clip from what was Bants and Beats, the former name of the show. Before it became Talking Tunes with Timmy. And this was the Fiona Kennedy special. And here Fiona is talking about her supporting of Kris Kristofferson in Páirc Uí Chaoimh way back in the 80s. And she was supporting Kris Kristofferson in front of 60,000 people. And at the time, she was only... I think she either said she was in final year of college or she was just finished college, which is just crazy to think that she was playing for 60,000 people in Páirc Uí Chaoimh at such a young age. And I just love, you can really hear the feeling and emotion in Fiona's voice when she's discussing this particular gig. Because I think the question was, is there, obviously she's Fiona Kennedy, She's a wonderful musician. She's done so many gigs over her career, and I was wondering, was there one gig that stood out over them all? And it was, in fact, supporting Kris Kristofferson at Páirc Uí Chaoimh. So have a listen to this clip.
That's what it's all about, really, in the end, because I know recording the album's exciting as well and going to the studio and stuff, but I suppose the live performances are where you really get to see kind of an audience's reaction to the music.
That is exactly right. Yeah. And I do believe that an artist proves themselves in their live shows. I think you've no business doing this if you're not able to go out and stand in front of a crowd and play. I mean, my biggest and most exciting gig was opening for Chris Christopherson. It was a crowd of 60,000 people.
I know.
In Carkey Queen.
I had that noted down just to ask you next, and you got there before me, so brilliant. Yeah, so that's probably one of your favourite gig of all time, is it?
That was definitely.
It's so special, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, what a buzz. Like, and at that time, I mean, I was standing there on my own with the guitar.
Yeah.
Like, I had no loop pedals. I had nothing, no backing.
Oh my
nothing.
God.
It was me and the guitar. 60,000 people. And they all sang along. Everybody got it. Like, I did. You've Got a Friend. You Got a Friend.
Yeah.
You know that one?
They
all started singing. Oh my God.
God, that's fantastic.
And I just lashed it out. Like, Chris Christopherson was standing at the side of the stage, kind of waving and giving me a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Of course, I had no phone to be taking pictures or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I was so naive. Like, it was such a huge moment. I do have some pictures, but not enough. What?
It's more the memory of it, really, isn't it? Because you kind of have that. I can see it now in you, like, that you have that feeling of, I can see the feeling of just kind of being in front of 60,000 people having Chris Christopherson on the side.
Yeah.
Not many people get to experience that in their lives.
No, like, it was unbelievable. And when, what's his name, Ed Sheeran came to Ireland, you know, he played in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and it was a big deal made that he played with just on his own with the guitar.
Yeah.
But he had a load of pedals and he had a big backing track. Yeah. He had a load of technology.
You were there first, Fiona. You were there without the tech, like.
See, I think we should get on Dade.
Yeah,
bring him
definitely,
there.
Yeah, I'd say. Sure, if you could support Chris Christopherson, you can surely support Ed Sheeran. Like.
Exactly.
God, that's an exciting one. That was back in 1985, is that? Am I right there?
Yeah,
that was 85. Shimsha Kushli.
Yeah.
A tongue twister there. God, that's
I think I was in my final year of college.
Yeah, only in your final year of college. Yeah, so young as well to be doing it.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And were you nervous?
No, I was mad for it. I was go. I was probably, I'm sure I was a little bit nervous now in the run-up, but I wasn't paralyzed with nerves or anything, you know. I guess I didn't realize either. It was when I stood out onto the stage that I realized, holy cow, this is real, you know.
I guess it kind of does show that you're kind of made for the live performances, though. Like, if you say you kind of weren't feeling nervous going up on stage there, like in front of 60,000 people, like, that's where you're meant to be.
Well, I think when you can play for the UCC Canoe Club with a big gang of people roaring for more and saying, come on, give us another one. If you have to entertain them, you can do anything.
All stems back to the College Bear.
Now, that was a little clip there from Banson Beats, the Fiona Kennedy special, way back when. That was, I think, the first live interview that I ever did on my show. And Fiona was just the perfect person to have on for that first interview, because I was so, so nervous first. I had only been used to being inside in the studio myself. I wasn't used to trying to get a dialogue going and make a guest feel comfortable and try and build some chemistry. That was the first time I ever did that, and Fiona just made it so, so easy, and I loved every minute of that interview. I was genuinely listening back to it, and I was like, I could listen to this woman talk for hours. She's just a fascinating person. One of the questions there was, were you nervous to get up and perform in front of 60,000 people? And she said no, she was mad for it. Which is just crazy. I can only imagine myself being on a stage in Páirc Uí Chaoimh in front of 60,000 people, and I have Chris Christopherson looking over at me from the side, giving me a thumbs up. That's the stuff of dreams. The stuff of dreams completely. Okay, so we're going to go for a little song. It's a Fiona Kennedy number, just to stick with the theme of the clip. And this one is from her album, Find Me, which she released last year. That was actually the whole reason that she was on the show in the first place, doing a bit of album promotion for Find Me. And it performed very well as an album. And I have to say, I really enjoy it myself. This, I think, is probably my favorite song from the album. It's called White Thorn Tree, and I think in the interview Fiona said the song was based on folklore and the ideas of kind of pixies and fairies. I hope I don't have that all wrong now, but it's kind of, that was very much, I think, a kind of basis of the album, Irish folklore and storytelling and a bit of magic. And there's certainly a bit of magic in this song, White Thorn Tree by Fiona Kennedy.
It was a winter's night. She was feeling restless. One of those stone cold nights when the moon has blessed us. She was hoping that he wouldn't notice the bed was empty. The creak on the floor made her jump. She kept on anyway. Swallowed up by the night, walking down to where she liked to be.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talk and Tunes with Timmy on UCC 98.3 FM. I am your host, Timmy O'Riordan, with you until 1 o'clock. The idea for today's show is, since it's the final show of the year, tiny violin playing sad music. We're kind of doing a bit of going back through all of the previous shows and picking out little highlights that I enjoyed from those shows and that I hope you will enjoy too. This next clip is from my interview with TikTok star and mindset development coach Robin Courtney. And in this particular clip, we're talking a little bit about Robin's, we're talking a little bit about Robin's very popular TikTok series, Eating My Way Around Cork. You might have seen it pop up on your For You page on TikTok. If you're from Cork, you've definitely seen some. You should see now, I'm trying to multitask here in studio. I'm trying to talk you through the next clip while also getting the clip set up to go on the right timestamp to play for you. I'm really not much of a multitasker. So this is using 100% of my brain power right now. But this next clip, I have it ready to go here now. This next clip is from my interview with Robin Courtney, and we're talking about her TikTok series, Eating My Way Around Cork.
See what happens.
Yeah. Fantastic. Robin, your viral TikTok series, Eating My Way Around Cork, has now surpassed the 60 episode mark. Do you still love to eat your way around Cork?
I do. I love to eat my way around Cork, but my jeans do not. Like, oh my God, I literally gained, I think, like a stone and a half doing that series. And now I'm like, no. Like, we have to take a break. So it's just, again, it's one of those things where you're trying to find balance between creating the content and then just making sure you're living your a healthy lifestyle. You know? Yeah. But I'm a massive foodie. I always have been. Yeah. So the series started when I moved down to Cork, and Sasha, I didn't know anyone in Cork, and Sasha would be working during the day. Whenever I'd have a couple of days off, I'd go in and be like, I'm from Tipperary, so like there's not a food scene around there.
It's mad. Everyone thinks you're from Cork.
No, I'm not.
Anyone that I've talked about the series with, they think
you're from Cork. No, most successful blow
in there. You'll have to do like a disclaimer video or something that you are from Tip.
No, I don't want to let people know.
Just lose all your followers.
Everyone unfollow. The series started when I was basically bored and I was exposed to these like incredible like restaurants and like chefs and food.
What was the first episode? Where did you start?
Poulet-vous. Yeah. Which is like, people still say to me this day, being like, oh, I went to Poulet-vous in the Marina Market because I saw your video, and I'm like, wow, I've made Poulet-vous a lot of money.
I think I went to Poulet-vous in the Market because I saw your video. Yeah.
I know. It's great.
And they probably sold out in probably no time, Poulet-vous, after that video, did they?
Yeah. Like, they messaged me the next day being like, thank you so much for the video, but like, oh my God, like, we had to close down the next day because we're understaffed with the amount of people that came through. And that was like the first time I realized, like, holy shit, like the power you have on social media to help change a business. And whenever I do receive some sort of like negative comment, it's usually in the form of, why don't you have any negative reviews of food? You know, that would be like a huge thing. Because if you look back on all 60 episodes, it's all positive experiences that I've had. And at the end of the day, like, businesses are already hit with so many hardships. You know, the increase in VAT, the increase in products, the price it costs to staff. Why would someone come online and bash a business because they had a bad experience? It could have been a bad day for them. It could have been, you know, someone like do you know what I mean? There could have been so many reasons as to why you had a bad experience, but that doesn't show the overall picture of the business.
Okay.
You know, and I often see like other food reviewers online, and they'll be giving both their positive and negative experiences, but they're bashing the restaurant, like bashing it. And I'm like, there's no need to be inflicting that actual hardship on top of everything else that business owners are experiencing and dealing with, you know? So that's one
Especially
of my morals.
I suppose, because, you know, kind of anyone can be a food critic now. I know that you probably, you have a bit of a platform for it, but like, anyone could go in with their camera if they wanted to. It might look very professional and go in and do a few food review, and suddenly everyone's a critic. And if everyone's bashing you, like, that just must be to think of being a restaurant owner and trying to deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, think about it is like, I've never like kind of stood up and said, oh, I'm an expert in like reviewing food. Yeah. It's like, I go in, I enjoy it, I film it, I have fun, and I showcase you what I eat.
Yeah.
Do you know what
it's
I mean?
It's more about kind of giving, I suppose, a positive view of the restaurants in Cork, and maybe trying to up the image of, because Cork is kind of becoming the foodie capital of Ireland.
Absolutely.
Like, you can go into town and there's so many places to eat. Mm-hmm. It's actually hard to choose.
Mm-hmm. And like, a lot of the times as well, like, a lot of people that watch my videos, they're like, I've been living in Cork for 10 years, and I've never heard of that place. Like, how do you find these places?
Yeah.
And you know, that's what I love. I love being able to like give those new restaurants or even those older restaurants that might need that bit of boost in income and customers. And if that's the best I can do with my platform online, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bash them.
Exactly.
You know,
I was actually going to say, everyone that I've mentioned this interview to has been familiar with the series.
Yeah.
Do you get recognized often?
Yeah, in Cork, quite often.
Yeah.
But everyone's just super sound. They're like, super you're going to eat my way around Cork, girl. That's what they say. And I'm like, I am, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, everyone is deadly. Like, I've never really had a bad interaction at all.
Yeah.
And there's some days where I'm like going in with my hun bun in a tracksuit and I'm like, hey. I'm just like rolling out of bed and I'm like, hi.
No photos
You've
today.
You've seen me in my natural habitat.
Yeah, unreal. So I guess the fact, I suppose what you were kind of saying is that you don't really like to, you never like to be bashing a restaurant. So I suppose if you did go in, if you had a food experience and it was disappointing, would you kind of say, I'm not going to post this?
Yeah. No, I don't post it. And you know, it's happened to me quite a lot. Not quite a lot. It's happened to me a couple of times when, you know, I just didn't have a great experience and I just say, you know, I'm not going to post it.
Yeah.
And that's it. End of story. Like if you've really had a bad experience, you can go and leave a Google review. And sometimes I will leave a Google review. It wouldn't be like bashing them, but it would just be like actual like helpful being like, oh, this could have been better. Or like this was cold. Maybe, you know, sort it out, you know, but that's the extent of it, you know.
Yeah.
Now, that was a clip from Talking Tunes with Timmy, with special guests, Robin Courtney. I just loved talking to Robin on the show. She has such a voice for radio as well. You can see her background in student radio shining through and why she's so suitable for her content creation centered around food in Cork. And I'm actually, the next clip is another clip from that interview because I felt that since Robin had gained such a unique knowledge of food in Cork through her TikTok series, Eating My Way Around Cork, I wanted to see what her opinions are on like the best pub in Cork, the best restaurant in Cork, and then go further beyond Cork then as well to the best restaurant in Ireland, the best pub in Ireland. It was inspired by a TikToker called Cassie Stokes, and she does this thing where she goes to different places in Dublin and she interviews different pub owners and restaurant owners, and she asks them what's your favorite pub, what's the best pizza in Dublin is always a popular one, and they always say something like Bambino's, and they're kind of, I enjoy watching them, but they do get a bit repetitive, but I wanted to see how Robin would stand up in a little quick fire round, what her opinions would be on different foodie bits in Cork. And it was really fun and she really enjoyed the idea. And so that's what this next clip is. It's quite a long clip, so you won't be hearing my voice again for a while. Well, you will, but you'll be hearing a recorded version. Here is a little quickfire round on the best places to eat in Cork and Ireland with Robin Courtney.
Range of questions. I don't know, are you familiar with Cassie Stokes on TikTok? She does the kind of, you know, best places to eat in Dublin. So I thought it might be fun with your fairly extensive knowledge of the Cork food scene if we did a bit of a quick fire round similar to hers, but for Cork and Ireland rather than Dublin and Ireland. Definitely. So we'll start with the best restaurant in Cork, in your opinion.
Oh my God. Oof, it depends on the day. It's a really hard one. Yeah. I'm going through like my 60 episodes.
Also, don't feel like it has to be a quick fire. We could also just
I might need to think for a second.
Yeah.
Right. Let me think. I'm trying to go through my... Does it have to be Cork City?
No. Anywhere in Cork.
Okay. So my favorite restaurant is the Lifeboat Inn.
Yeah.
In Cormac Sherry.
The two lads.
And I know it's so far away. And like, I know they're on TikTok, but if you've actually tried the food there, it's so worth going down.
Is there a particular dish that you'd be like?
Beef cheek.
Stunning. The beef cheek.
Beef cheek and Guinness chocolate cake. Like,
I have seen their Guinness chocolate cake on TikTok. It looks unreal.
Good. And like, it's so good that like Sasha's French and like his parents would be like very particular as to what they eat.
They're
very like, if they don't like it, they'll say it. So when they were coming over, we were like, we have to bring them somewhere good. I was like, we can't disappoint them, you know? So we brought them out to Quarterback Share and they were massive fans. Really, really good food. And then inside the city, I do love Sabor Nordestino for Brazilian.
Oh, okay.
Really good. Really good.
What does kind of Brazilian food consist of? Like, what would you...
Very much barbecue.
Barbecue.
Like Brazilian barbecue. Mm. Yeah. Really, really nice.
Lovely.
Yeah. And then let's do a favorite place in the Marina Market. I feel
absolutely. That's one of your favorite spots.
People love Marina Markets.
Yeah.
So there's actually a new Korean place in there. It's called Nana, I think, or something like that. You'll see it. It's like pink and it's down the back.
Yeah.
But they are really, really tasty.
Okay.
Really, really good stuff. So if you're in there, definitely try it.
Okay. Mm. Note all of those then because they will be, I'm sure they'll be fantastic. What would you say is the best pub in Cork?
Oh, Shinnay.
Shinnay.
Oh, I love Shinnay.
Kind of a nice, would you be definitely pub over club?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like pub over club any day.
Yeah.
Put me in an old man pub. Give me a pint of Guinness, packet of cheese and onion crisps, a bit of live music, and I couldn't be happier.
Would you be a big Guinness drinker?
Yes.
And have you ever tried Murphy's?
Yes. Of course.
And you go for Guinness over Murphy's?
I think as well, because like I'm...
The people of Cork are listening, so beware.
I think it often changes, but because I spend so much time outside of Cork, like working and stuff like that, Murphy's isn't often like on the tap.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So I like if we're just ordering drinks and it's just easiest for everyone just to get a Guinness, do you know? But if I am in Cork, I'll go for Murphy's.
Yeah. I suppose if Guinness is flowing as well, it's supposed to be nicer.
Yeah. No, it's... Yeah, I can't beat a pint of Guinness now. And absolutely. I wasn't always a pint of Guinness. I'm a beer girl as well.
Yeah.
So, but I just drank so much Heineken in college that I was like, I just need to like... Do you know my new drink? And it's so good. Ginger beer.
Ginger beer.
Oh my God. If anyone's listening, there's a ginger beer called Holloman's. It's like a blue bottle, but you get it in a lot of the bars. Ask for ginger beer and it's just so good.
And what's the kind of flavoring? Is it just kind of...
It's a bit of ginger, but it's not like too overpowering.
Okay.
And then they put like a slice of lime and bitters and it's just a really nice, refreshing summery drink. It's so
lovely.
Good. Yeah.
What would you say is the best pizza in Cork?
Ooh, Oakfire.
Oakfire.
I do like Oakfire. Now, I wouldn't be massive into pizza. Like pizza wouldn't be like my number one choice.
Oh, what would be a food that you're like would be a big fan of? And maybe we go for your favorite place of that.
Do you know where I love Tequila Jack's?
Tequila Jack's.
I love Mexican food.
Down by they have the domes out by the river. Oh,
yeah,
lovely.
Tequila Jack's is a great spot. Even on like a Friday, Saturday night, like the tunes do be hopping in there, and they just have like fajitas and enchiladas and like
lovely kind
like
of
cocktails.
Food.
Oh, really, beautiful. Really good. Really good Mexican food. Just like picky bits. Do you know if you could sit down and like picky bits? And just really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you say is the best coffee in Cork? Are you a coffee drinker?
I am. I do love coffee. Soma Coffee.
Soma Coffee.
I do like Soma Coffee. Now they are pricey. I feel like every time I go back to have a coffee, they go up like 20 cent and I'm like, lads, I know the environment is tough, but come on.
Yeah.
I think I paid like $4.80 for like a small mocha last week. And I was
it's kind of crazy.
It hurt my soul, but I was like, look, it is what it is. But Soma Coffee is fantastic.
Soma Coffee.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Where would you say is the best restaurant in Ireland?
That's a hard question.
It's a hard question. It kind of opens it up very much everywhere that you've ever been in Ireland.
I'm trying to think, like my brain is just like flickering through like all these really nice places that I've eaten. I feel like anywhere down along like the coast, like Kerry, Dingle, Doolin, they all have these like magical little restaurants there where they have like the freshest seafood. Can't name them off the top of my head because like I can tell you in the town where they are, but I'd say anywhere along there where you can get really fresh seafood is really, really good. I actually went to a restaurant a couple of weeks ago. It's called the Moorings in Waterford.
Lovely.
Down in kind of in and around Ardmore. It's called the Moorings.
Yeah.
And like I had crab claws and they were just so good.
So good. So,
so
fresh.
Good. Yeah, so that's a really good restaurant that I highly recommend.
Okay, the Moorings in
Moorings.
Waterford.
In Waterford, yeah.
Fantastic.
Dungarvan.
What would you say is the best pub in Ireland?
I've been to quite a few. I've been to quite a few pubs.
What if you do a top 10 or something?
Oh, Jesus. Oh my God. I'm trying to think in my head. Like, a lot of my pals live in Dublin, so I spend quite a lot of time up there.
Yeah. What's your favourite pub in Dublin?
I don't really... Is it a pub called off Mary Street? It's really cool. It looks like this tiny little workshop, but then you go in underneath and there's like a really cool burger spot.
Oh, cool.
I can't remember what it is, but it's just off Grafton Street. It's really, really good. But I'm the kind of person that will just like drink in a place like 4 or 5 times and not even know the name of the place. Yeah. I just be like, oh, that spot that's off the left there down Grafton Street, and you know what I'm talking about. We'll go in. Couldn't tell you the name of it though.
You wouldn't really need to know the names as long as you're just going, good drinks. I know where it is. Yeah. Good drinks.
Yeah, good drinks. Happy out.
The next question was, what is the best pizza in Ireland? But if you're not a huge fan of pizza.
Wouldn't be a massive pizza fan. Do you know anything that's like stone baked in like the fire ovens, you know, the open fire ovens, anything like that with really fresh ingredients, you can't beat. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Old Fire is great in Cork.
We go for a coffee. So and so, we say, what's the best coffee in Ireland?
Oh, I love my little cafe down in Kinsale, Wild and Tame.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, if you've ever been, have you been down to Kinsale yet?
I have, absolutely. It's one of my favourite places to go during the summer.
Next time,
it's gorgeous.
Yeah, go into Wild and Tame and get a mocha. And Hannah, she's like a female business owner. Like, it's a great spot. And I love it. I get one like nearly every day. Fantastic. Bad for my bank account, but good for the well-being.
Yeah, do you have a favourite restaurant in Kinsale?
Man Fridays. Yeah.
Oh, it's a lovely spot.
Up by the Spaniard Inn.
Yeah.
So nice. Overlooks all the water and it's just great food.
Well, Kinsale is just a gorgeous place. I love it in the summer. Like, it's driving down. So it's many so tourists, sunny. And there's, so many tourists.
A lot of tourists. Like,
it's to try and get maybe at an hour where whether you go down and for an evening swim or maybe an early morning swim or something.
Yeah.
Do you have a beach that you like down by Kinsale?
It depends. The closest beach in Kinsale would be the Dock Beach, but there could be often like a lot of seaweed, and I just don't like seaweed.
The water can be quite cold there as well.
Yeah.
In comparison, if you go over the road to Garrettstown, is where I'd probably prefer to swim.
Yeah. So that if you.
That was a little clip there from Talking Tunes with Timmy, Robin, with special guest Robin Courtney. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talking Tunes with Timmy on UCC 98.3 FM. For a second there, I looked over at my mic and I was like, is my mic off? No, it is in fact on. Very good. That was in that clip. We were talking a bit about, we were doing a bit of a quick fire round, taking inspiration from Cassie Stokes on TikTok. And we were getting some of Robin's ops on the best places to eat and drink in Cork and Ireland. And she gave some great recommendations if you are looking for new places to go to eat and drink. And I think I even overplayed the clip slightly and we started talking about favorite beaches. So if you're a fan of surfing and swimming, there's some wrecks as well for beaches to go to in Cork. Okay. So we're going to go for another clip. I'm having a very easy time on the radio this afternoon. I'm just sitting here listening to my own voice, the sound of my own voice, and loving it, inside in UCC 98.3 FM. How bad? That sounds terrible. Loving the sound of my own voice. That's the cliche playing out in real time. Okay, so we're going to go for a clip from my interview. I still find it mad to be saying this. My interview with Gavin James that I did there, it was the week before last. And I was talking to Gavin about his Live at the Marquee gig that's taking place on the 25th of... the 25th of May this year. I'm multitasking, trying to get clips ready to go. And see, what I'm essentially doing is I'm going on to Spotify and I'm going back to the podcasts that have been, all of the Talking Tunes with Timmy podcasts that have been uploaded onto Spotify, the UCC Spotify podcast channel, which you can go and listen to anytime that you like. And I would encourage you to do so. And I'm going back through all those podcasts and I have to go to every time I want to play a clip, I have to go to the podcast that I want to play the clip from. And then I have to find the exact point that I want to play, and then I have to play it. There's definitely an easier way to do this, but I haven't. I'm still relatively new to the radio, so I'm still getting. I guess I have a year day now, but I'm still relatively new to broadcasting and all the techie bits. So this is the best way that I could think of doing it and getting all the clips played. So this next clip, as I said, is from my interview with Gavin James, who's performing at Live at the Marquee on the 25th of May. Go get your tickets. They're still available. And I was asking Gavin just about the gig itself, and asking him what the fan favorites are and if there's any hidden gems that fans might know about in his music. So enjoy this clip.
Does it still give you goosebumps, Gavin, when you hear your name attached to such a large venue, or does it kind of work?
Yeah, the last time I played the Marquee was 2019, so it's maybe 2018, to be honest.
About 5 or 6.
Yeah. It's definitely pre-COVID, but it's a mad gig. I love playing there. So, I mean, the first time I played it was in 2015 for my first album, and then the second album was the second time. Now I'm getting to my fourth one, probably hopefully at Christmas. So it'd be interesting trying to play all these songs at this. But yeah, it's a massive one. It's like 5,000 people in a tent in Cork. Sounds like 20,000 people in a tent anywhere else.
Yeah. What are the acoustics like as a musician? Because it is essessentially just one big massive tent.
Yeah, it's actually great. It's really good, actually. For like sound checking wise, it's always tough. Like sound checking in a venue like that of that capacity, but like that's just everywhere. But when you get to play the gig, just everybody sings everything. Like the deep B sides and all, it's gas. Like people singing all of the songs, and as I said, like in Cork, it's always a great gig because everybody's is well up for it, and they're like from the start. There's not like. They just sing everything from the start, which is great.
Did you say you can't beat a Cork crowd?
I can't say that because I'm in Dublin. And then it can't be an Irish crowd anyway. That's
can't be a traitor to the Dubs, absolutely.
Yeah. Ireland, that's always the best. Always, absolutely.
Yeah. And what can fans be expecting from your Live at the Marquee set next month? Is it going to be a lot of the new stuff? Is it the oldies?
I'll be doing everything really. So I'm gonna try out one or two of the new ones that nobody's heard before. I'm going to be kind of like tap dancing around that to make sure. There's no worse going to a gig and be like, here's another new one.
It's terrible when you go to a gig and artists just kind of, because a lot of people, they want to hear just the ones that they know and the ones that they, I suppose.
I go to gigs like that too.
Yeah.
I think the same deal. Like every time I go to a gig and if that happens, I'm like, oh, come on, give me that one. So yeah, I'm always very conscious of that on my shows. So like I'm going to play everything. So I've added some songs in that might have been taken out from the first album and the second album. And it's going to be really fun. I'm buzzing for it. It's definitely, it's been so long. I have a new band practically. So my mate Jeff plays keys. He's been with us for like 7 years. Yeah. And I have a new guitar player. His name is Jamie Dean. He used to be in Goddess and Astronaut. And so he's playing with us, which is going to be a great one. So it's awesome. It's fun. It'll be great.
What are the songs at your concerts that really just make the crowd go ballistic? What would you say are kind of the favorites?
Well, I mean, the obvious one, I'm sitting on the piano now, so I have this, that is Adele.
are we gonna get a performance, an exclusive performance, Gavin?
Yeah, so I have that, like, so the piano one works, the always one always kind of goes down. And the nervous and all always kind of goes down well. It's all the kind of, so the ones I really love playing are like, the Hearts on Fire is one I love playing because it's just,
it's great.
Full of energy. It's got so much energy in it and it's really fun to play live.
Yeah, and everyone knows it.
He said it's a gas one, yes. I mean, there's a few of them that people don't necessarily really know very well that I love playing. There's one called Only Ticket Home that I play at the shows.
Yeah.
And which is really fun, but I usually finish with it because like it's just pure madness at the end. Like just like Van Halen solo on an acoustic guitar and it's just me being an absolute nut job running around the crowd and stuff. So I love playing that one just for that sheer reason. But
unreal. Would you say that's like, obviously there's the fan favorites, but to have your own favorite song of the works that you've produced is like, are there any kind of hidden gems?
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, there's, you know what there is? There's one, because we kind of delve a little bit into dance music slightly, because I obviously had that song with Alan Walker called Pirate.
Yeah. Oh, it's a buzz. I love it.
That's a buzz. It's always, but we don't really do it super dancey way, but we have a few elements of the Alan Walker part. I love what he did to it because it was a ballad at the start. It never was a dance song, and he turned it into like this massive thing, which is amazing. So he's incredible. But I have that one, and then there's another one called All For You that I did with my mates, Kaleidoscopes, and I love playing that because my mate Dan there. But if you're ever going to listen to anybody, you should listen to his music. It's his name is Slang on Spotify. But he's from London, but me and him wrote that song with our mate Johnny, and that's a buzz to play live because it's just full of energy and full of beans. So it's great.
That was a clip from Talking Tunes with Timmy, with a very special guest, Gavin James. That was a really exciting interview that I did there just about 2 weeks ago. And he was so lovely to interview and he totally put me at ease. Love Gavin James. We love him so much that we're going to play a Gavin James song next, because why not? You're going to hear more clips from the past shows of Talking Tunes with Timmy after Nervous, the Merrick McCabe remix on UCC 98.3 FM. The Merrick McCabe remix on UCC 98.3 FM. If you're just tuning in, this is Talking Tunes with Timmy. I am your host, Timmy O'Riordan, with you until one. If you are just tuning in, the whole idea of today's show is we're playing clips from past Talking Tunes with Timmy shows and kind of doing, a This Is Your Life of my year on the radio, essentially. It's very narcissistic altogether. It's to go back and celebrate all the wonderful things I've got to do with this show this year. And another highlight of the year for me was getting to interview the UCC Students Union presidential candidates, Katie Halpin-Hill and Dimitar Bonikov. And it was a really great opportunity for me. It was they're big interviews to get for student media. And I was delighted to have them on the show. So we are going to play a little clip of me introducing Katie Halpin Hill, and she introducing herself. And this was before that she was elected as our next UCC Student Union president.
UCC 98.3 FM.
A very good afternoon to you. I just started my intro there and realized my mic was off. Best to turn your mics on, fellow radio hosts. It's just gone 12 midday and you're listening to Talk and Tunes with Timmy on UCC 98.3 FM. As always, I am your host, Timmy O'Riordan, with you until one. Now, this week's show is a bit of a UCC Student Union election special, since elections are taking place next week, running from the 4th to the 6th of March. So over the course of the hour, I will be talking to our two Students Union presidential candidates. We will split the show into two half hours, one for each candidate, so you can get to know them. Now, I would like to add a quick disclaimer that neither Talking Tunes with Timmy or UCC 98.3 FM are endorsing any candidate in the Students' Union elections. This interview will be conducted in a completely impartial manner. Okay, so I'm delighted to be joined by the first of our Student Union presidential candidates. She's a final year Bachelor of Arts History and Gaeilge student. Her name is Katie Halpin Hill, and she's looking to be UCC's next Student Union president. Katie, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on, Timmy. I'm really excited to talk more about my campaign.
Fantastic. So I think just to kick us off, Katie, could you maybe tell us three things about yourself, just to give us an idea of who you are?
Yeah, no bother. So as you said, I'm a BA History and Gaeilge student. I'm final year.
Fantastic.
Doing my dissertation at the moment. The deadline is the 19th of March. So
it's
coming up soon.
The elections must be a lot of stress.
It's grand, to be honest. I kind of planned it out beforehand. So
fantastic.
I feel like I'm managing it quite well, contextually speaking. Doing my dissertation on sex and gender Renaissance Italy.
Okay.
So been interesting.
Very interesting. Okay.
I'm from Waterford. I'm from the Waterford Gaeltacht. On Rhine. So I'm a fluent Irish speaker, and I would have been very involved in An Cúlacht and the Irish language kind of side of things.
Okay.
And one other fact about me, I'm an Aries.
I
think it comes across.
It's always good to know.
Yeah, the red. That's the history behind the red, I guess.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Unreal. And can I ask you what inspired you to run for Student Union President?
Yeah, I'm running because I want to make a difference, and I want to, I think, give back to students. I think that it's really important that we have a strong union that is there to represent students, fight for students, and really get that kind of student perspective out there. And I'm running because I think that I have something to offer, and I think that I can make a difference for people on the issues that matter to them, because I think that the union really should be doing things on those issues, like the really important issues, like the housing, the hybrid lectures, unpaid placements, the real core issues that affect every student, and are all intertwined and interlinked in a systemic way as well. So I really want to just, I suppose, tackle that and face it head on. And I feel that I have something to offer there.
Yeah, you actually...
That was a little snippet from my interview with Katie Halpin Hill, who is UCC's next student union president come the 1st of June. And that was way back when she was just doing, she was running her campaign. She didn't know that she was going to be the next student union president. It's crazy to think she was on the show, she was talking about it, and then it all worked out for her, which is fab. Yeah, she was so calm and collected and very professional for the interview, which was just fantastic. It's always great as an interviewer to have that kind of easiness for an interview. Okay, so we're going to go for another clip. Surprise, surprise, another clip in a show where I've just been playing clips. So this next one is, it's a very funny clip. It's from which show is it from? It's from Talk and Tunes with Timmy, the Art of Conversation. And in the description that I put for this show, just to remind myself when I was going to introduce it, that I have four words in total. So that it's chat up lines / gumbo. And that will mean nothing to you now, but once you listen to this clip, it'll all make sense. And this is probably, I'd say, one of the funniest moments we had on the radio this year. Or one of many funny moments we've had on the radio this year. So enjoy this.
I'd rather be called fugly than ugly.
Yeah, no, me too.
Okay. Yeah. Guys, we're going to try some chat up lines. And you're going to rate them on a scale of, we'll say 1 to 10.
What else would we say?
Wait, I don't know. You could do like 1 to 5. You could do...
I'm not really going to Fuego.
We're not doing that.
Well, I try this first one. Yeah. Okay. Well, here I am. What are your other two wishes?
Sorry. It's not Fuego anyway.
Not Fuego.
I
think not
Fuego. It's kind of Fuego in a camp way.
Okay.
Like, imagine someone like seriously coming up to you and be like, I'm your one wish for the other two. Like, I feel like, what the hell?
Because like, they're laughing in their face. Yeah, you laugh in their face.
Yeah.
I feel like if like someone had like a sort of whimsical way about them, then it was it would work. Like if he was like, I don't know, wearing like tech fleece.
I don't know. I don't think that one could work on me.
Is someone going to rate it 8 to 10?
I'm going to say 6.5.
6.5? That's really high.
I'm going to say like a 4.
I'm going to say 4 as well because there's probably worse.
There's definitely worse.
Yeah, I already see worse on this list right here. I actually think this one is quite good. Okay. Oh. Do you like raisins? How do you feel about a date?
Oh, no.
No, the worst. No, zero. That's, yeah.
Zero.
I'm like a vegan though.
Olivia, would it work on you as a vegetarian?
Like maybe like halfway.
That's too much. That's too much.
If he says it with gumbo. Oh, is that like a no? Is that like a is that like saying something thing. Gumption with gumption? I realize.
Forrest Gump.
Wait, no, you're thinking of Princess and the Frog.
I think a gumbo is like it's like a meal or something. Rather than a gumption, is like gumbo. Saying something with like conviction and like. Come on, I have a bunch of lawyers here. Like this is passion? What you do for a living.
We've language. Under our belt.
Wait, I thought you did a law module. I thought you were
a lawyer. I do a law module, yeah. So that's why I used the word gumbo when I said it.
If you ever catch me saying gumbo in the courtroom, like, it's over.
Will I do one more?
Yeah, do one more.
Oh God, these are... Okay. Aside from being...
Wait, no, use it as if you're chatting us up. say it with gumbo.
Okay, I'll say it with gumbo. I wish I were cross-eyed so I can see you twice.
I'm sorry, I would.
Surely we're like the minus numbers there. That was
10.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd like fold, but like, because I can't see, because I never wear my glasses anytime, I'd be like, haha, lol.
It would work more than the other two. Like I'm putting it out there. It's the best one we've heard.
Okay, so that was the best of the three.
The funniest thing about that clip is just that I could not make it through any of the chat up lines without just bursting into laughter. That was, I think, probably I've looked through a lot of the different shows, and that was definitely one of the funniest few minutes of radio that we've had on Talking Tunes with Timmy this year. Talking Tunes with Timmy, The Art of Conversation. It's a really good episode. The guests there were Ronan O'Keefe, Hannah O'Shea, Olivia O'Driscoll, and Aoife O'Sullivan. And it was a great combination. It really worked. It's so funny. The idea, what was I saying? Gumbo, mixing up the words gumbo and gumption. What was I on? Oh my God. I need to get myself a dictionary. So I think I'll go for one more clip before finishing up, and then I'll go for a song. But yeah, I think it probably won't get any funnier than that, but we get a bit more, a bit more deep and meaningful in this next one. There was one episode I did, and it's called Talking Tunes with Timmy, It's Time. And the guests were Ronan O'Keefe and Jesse Fitzgerald. Ronan is a regular on the show. He's been I think he calls himself a Talking Tunes veteran, and that he is. I'd say he's been on the show 5 or 6 times. So we are indebted to you, Ronan O'Keefe. at Talking Tunes with Timmy. You've been an absolute asset for the show. As have all the others, but Ronan's really put in the work. So we're going to go for a clip from Talking Tunes with Timmy. It's time, and this one we're talking a bit about time travel.
To Talk and Tunes with Timmy on UCC 98.3 FM. Time travel. How in God's name could we do a show on time without mentioning time travel? Just to start very broadly, Ronan and Jesse, if you could time travel, would you be heading for the future or the past? What are we thinking?
I feel like this is such like a boring answer, but I feel like I wouldn't time travel. I don't know. I don't want to see the future.
Wrong answer.
I don't know. I feel like I'll elaborate on it. I'll explain myself. I feel like I don't want to see the future because then I'll go back to the present and I make changes in my life, even subconsciously.
Yeah.
Like to either get to that future or to change that future. And then I feel like if I went to the past, the butterfly effect would kill me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would really scare me because I'm really happy with the way that my life has worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like I wouldn't want to do anything
if
that could
one
jeopardize
thing
it.
Changed. Yeah. Yeah. Like imagine if you went back and changed something and then you just never became friends.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Weird. Don't say that. Weird. Take that back right now. I don't think about that to me.
Don't want to think about that.
No. I think I would definitely go back, but I think I wouldn't go back and change anything. Mm. Again, like, you know, you changed the whole course of your entire life. That's not what I want to do. But I'd love to go back and meet like my family members that passed away before I got to meet them. Like go have a conversation with like my granny or great granny or something. You know, like
that would be
go
so
meet
nice.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that would always be really cool. That was
That'd
always my goal.
Yeah. Especially as far back as you think you could go. Like you could meet like ancestors. You know when you mentioned the term ancestors, you're like, you're going way back.
Yeah. That's old.
That would be really, that's old, old. Because like I've always found it really interesting. Okay. So a fun fact about me is that I'm the seventh, Timothy technically in my family. Mm-hmm. Like, down a line of like Timothy's in my, like from my dad's side, like my dad is called Timothy, my granddad Timothy, and it goes all the way up to like great, like four greats or something, which is kind of insane. And like, I don't know what the origin of that is really. Now, none of us would go by Timothy. We all go by Tim or Timmy because Timothy's a bit kind of, I don't know. Nothing wrong with
sorry
the name.
Sorry, Daddy Timothy's
nothing wrong.
Listening.
Sorry, Daddy Timothy's listening, but
sorry, Timothy Senior.
It's a bit formal. It's a bit formal for me, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. Would you feel pressure to name your child Timothy?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, not pressure, but kind of like a thing that I feel like it would be nice, you know, because like it would have been my dad, my granddad, all the way up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. To continue, it would be nice, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interestingly, you just reminded me there of, I was thinking like, you know, obviously you guys are both boys, like you're both going to keep your second names. Yeah. And you know, you can obviously have the choice too. You know, I'm not saying you have to take your husband's second name.
Yeah.
But that's something interesting that if I was to carry on, say if I carried on my name, it would be with a different second name.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Unless, you could,
I could keep my name. I think,
you could keep
your
name.
Especially, you know.
Or you could go double barrel.
So true. But
I feel like
Fitzgerald is so long. I'm sorry. It's really long.
I feel like with you having like the doctor in front of it though.
Yeah.
Like, your husband didn't earn that degree.
So true. Like,
I'd stick with my own.
And bit of feminism.
Fitzgerald as well is like a good like Cork name. Like I'd stick with that.
I really like my name, you know, no hate. I think definitely being, you know, because from, if I ever qualify, touch wood, from like when I become a doctor, you know, your patients will know you as a certain name.
Yeah.
So if you change, I just think, you know, you get known as one name. So I think for that reason,
I'd say
I would probably try to keep mine.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think it's becoming a lot more common practice now.
I
like
think
my
it
mom
is.
Kept her name when she got married.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah. What about your mom, Timmy?
She actually took my dad's name, not
yeah,
to,
my
not
mom
to be
took
like
my dad's
progressive.
As well.
But I feel like my mom took my mom kept her name because there's two O'Keefes and two Cotters in the house.
Okay.
Because I'm O'Keefe, my mom is O'Keefe.
Yeah.
And then her husband is Cotter and their son is Cotter.
Yeah.
Okay. Hmm.
That's really nice.
Like if she had taken Cotter, I'd be the only O'Keefe in the
house.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Would you ever consider double barrel?
No.
No.
I like
O'Keefe. Bit too long.
Yeah. O'Keefe suits.
It is. Yeah. It's a good kind of, it's a nice name.
Yeah.
So basically what I was kind of saying about the whole kind of going back in time thing is like, imagine like going back to meet like Timothy the First.
That would be very
really
cool.
Who is that guy?
That would be very cool.
Why has he started this lineage of Timothy's? Like,
well, you'd have to ask his parents. You'd have to go back.
Yeah, to ask his parents. Where
Timothy
the First. Oh, that'd be so interesting.
Yeah.
I guess so. I guess we were kind of talking a bit about the butterfly effect. So if we were going back in time, it's probably more for observational purposes, really, yeah, rather than kind of trying to change anything.
Yeah.
If you were to go back in time, is there any kind of like particular, I suppose, historical event that you would like to be present for, or maybe a historical figure that you'd like to meet? Anyone, anything that you, like, comes to mind? What would be one for me? I'm kind of thinking to kind of go back to recent history, like to go back and, I don't know, live through like the 80s when everything was a bit more like, everything just seemed a bit simpler and there was no like we were all on those big phones and stuff and the hair was all kind of crazy and I don't know, looks kind of fun.
I'd love to see like 1920s America, like with the speakeasies, like Great Gatsby.
Yeah, that's very cool. Oh, that would be really cool, like the kind of roaring 20s.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Interesting what you said there about like the 80s and 90s. I was talking to someone in my course recently who's a bit older and he was saying, he was referring to when he was younger, you know, before there was like social media and everything, and he was saying how they had like anonymous web pages. So the one he mentioned was MSN, but I'm sure there was like more, or maybe MSN was messaging, but there was an anonymous page anyway that I hadn't heard of that they used to use. So the first thing, like, you know, people who grew up like around our age asked was, oh, but what about bullying, you know? And he said, oh, that was back before bullying was invented. So I think that's interesting.
Okay.
That's like
back before bullying was invented.
That's crazy.
That's
if there was an anonymous website right now,
it would be
all bullying. Immediately bullying.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting.
Pit of bullying.
Yeah. Just, you know, he said like back then that wasn't something people would consider. It would only be kind messages.
I feel like it's kind of sad because I actually can't imagine what people would put on there if they weren't bullying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even sarcasm. You know, this was all just like very genuine, kind messages that he was receiving, which is insane.
What were people saying?
Yeah. Just, I don't know. That would be
Hope you have a great day.
Yeah.
It just sounds so bizarre now. Yeah. I guess we've just gotten used to I guess it's like a horrible, like trolling environment and stuff online.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess like if you're going back to that time, you're just looking at like a maybe more decent people, I guess. And well, I don't know. Like, were people more decent or like,
I don't know.
I guess there was more of they'd take into account like, how they kind of put themselves out to the world. Like, you know, there was more of kind of an air of like decorum about people, and people would be a bit more like proper. I know my mom would always kind of say that about like, she kind of finds now like in like say the line of hospitality that people can be quite rude, because I'd come home with like stories and stuff from work. And that's just like, she was like, none of that would have been the case in our day. Like if you were like talking to a waiter or a waitress, you would have been, yes, please. Thank you so much. Take your time or whatever. And there was no kind of like snapping fingers or like, you know, not saying please or thank you. And she's kind of shocked with like some of the stuff that I'd say now that like we experience inside and work. Because people have become so like, I feel demanding and like self-righteous. Yeah. And like,
it's much more normalized. I think people can be very honest.
Have you heard about whataboutism?
No, I
love whataboutism. I feel like when you're saying that people have become more demanding and like self-righteous, it's like this thing, like, you know, when you see a TikTok and then like in the say now it's like, oh, I'm making bread. And then like the comments are like, oh, but I'm gluten free. Like, can you make this bread gluten free? And then like there's another comment like, oh, I actually don't like bread. Like, I don't want to see this. And it's like, why are you commenting it? People be like, oh, I have personal trauma from, like, there's like, I saw this one and it was ridiculous. This girl was making her grandmother's recipe for bread and someone commented, today my grandma called me an ugly fat cow. And I was just like, why would, like,
that's,
and she was like,
I'm
glad your grandma gave you like a nice bread recipe though.
That is bizarre.
But that's like, everyone thinks that everything is catered to them nowadays. Like this bread evidently was not for you.
Yeah.
Scroll past.
Yeah. Exactly.
They expect everything to just be like, go their way, I suppose is the way to say it. Yeah.
I think we're quite lucky. Our age, you know, even people a couple of years younger than us, I think they had social media a lot earlier. Like, I didn't get social media until I was in first year of secondary school.
Yeah.
But I know, like, there's people in primary school from, like, the age of 9 and 10 that have Snapchat or Instagram or whatever.
Oh, so it's too early.
Yeah. Or, like, you see, like, toddlers with iPads, you know?
Way too early.
Yeah. I think we had, like, a bit of a balance. I think we definitely had, you know, a more...
I think we were kind of lucky like that.
Yeah.
Even, I'd be kind of happy, like... The whole thing of going back to like, say, living in the 80s, no social media. Oh, it'd just be so much easier.
Yeah.
My thing is like, I always think about how people made plans before social media.
There's
like,
that. I know that it was kind of a thing that you just kind of had to say, oh, we're meeting here. And like, if they didn't show up, you're like,
You
just have to go home.
Yeah. Or it was a case of, if you said you were going to show up, you were showing off.
Yeah, that's it.
If you didn't show up, you were in hospital.
Time management then.
Like, oh my God. You'd have to, I don't know. I feel like maybe if they didn't show up, you go home and give them a call and be like, where were you or something?
Yeah.
And then like be like, don't do that again.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'd do.
Yeah. Or
even. That clip was from Talking Tunes with Timmy. It's Time, the episode was called. And the whole theme of the show was the concept of time, which is very deep and philosophical altogether. We do get kind of deep on the show, which is why the show changed from the name. People always ask me, why'd you change it from Bants and Beats to Talking Tunes with Timmy? And I give them two reasons. First of all, Bants and Beats, it's very kind of light entertainment. You can't really get into the deeper stuff, I feel. With a name like Talking Tunes, like anything can be talk. You can be talking about lights, you can keep the talk light, you can keep the make the talk deeper and heavier, more philosophical, and that was my reasoning behind it. And the second reason was I think the name Talking Tunes with Timmy is very catchy, and it includes my name, which I enjoy. Okay, yeah, that was the last clip I'm gonna play for the show, this little highlight reel of Talking Tunes with Timmy. That show, actually, Talking Tunes with Timmy, It's Time, is the most popular show that I've released on Spotify. And you can go and listen to every single clip that I've played today. It comes from podcasts that are available on the UCC Spotify podcast channel, which you should absolutely go and give a listen to. Not just my show, but all the other fantastic shows. Because a lot of work goes into them, and there's just some fantastic people at the station who are so talented, and there's such a variety of different interests and genres of music being played. It's something else. I'm gone well over the hour mark at this point, and I could keep talking probably until 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, and with these. But I know if I released like a 3 hour long podcast, no one would ever listen to it, because I can hardly get people to put an hour of their time into listening to my current podcast. So that is why I'll finish up, even though I'm technically not under time pressure. I guess just to say thanks so much to everyone who has appeared on the show this year, including special guests Fiona Kennedy, Robin Courtney, Brian O'Kane, Katie Halpin Hill, Dimitar Bonikoff, the UCC Choral Society, the UCC Trampoline and Tumbling Club. That's a great episode that I did during the 24-hour broadcast, which I still have to release. That will be done. And also Gavin James. How could I forget Gavin James? The biggest guest that I secured for the show this year, and hopefully the first of many going forward. So thank you as well, to a huge thank you to the more regular guests who I lean on and who essentially became my co-hosts this year. Ronan O'Keefe, Hannah O'Shea, Olivia O'Driscoll, Jesse Fitzgerald, and Aoife O'Sullivan, I love you all. You're fantastic. I hope you're going to keep coming on the show for years to come. You've made the show so special, and I've loved having you on, and some of the conversations we've had on the air probably shouldn't be aired at all and are total yap. But you know what? I think people enjoy listening to it. I really do. And thank you, of course, to the wonderful producers at UCC 98.3 FM who make it all possible. You're all amazing. The station couldn't function without you, so thank you so much. So I had the tough decision of choosing what the final song I'd play would be for what the final song would be for the year of Talking Tunes with Timmy. Actually, it wasn't a very tricky decision. I had the song come to mind immediately. It's by my favorite artist, Tracy Chapman. And the song is called Talking About a Revolution. And it's just, I really think that it's probably the greatest song of all time. It's I don't know, there's just something very, very special about it. And I was actually sitting here in the studio, and there's a lot of kind of school tour groups in today. I think it's World, or is it European Day of, European School Day, I want to say. She said it to me like quite fast, and I was like, yeah, yeah, I'll say that, of course. But anyway, there's tour groups in today, and they've all been waving in the window, and I've been doing my waves back, and one of their teachers knocked on the window, and she was trying to say something, and obviously the windows are soundproof, so I couldn't hear her. I had to go outside, and she asked, could I dedicate the song to Skull Niklaus, who are here visiting UCC for what I'm going to say is European Schools Day. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's what it's for. So big shout out to Skull Niklaus. That's very exciting, because I don't usually... See, we have no phone here in the station, so we to actually get to do shout-outs and song dedications and stuff is kind of a rarity. So that was really nice for the last show. So yeah, again, just to say that this is a see you soon and not a goodbye for all my regular listeners. Thank you so much. I almost forgot. I did my thank yous there. I forgot to thank my listeners because it's ye that obviously I do the show for, and I want ye to enjoy it. And I get stuff content together every week and a good playlist so that you can enjoy it. And I've had great responses, and it's really meant so much. If you do listen to the show, please, and you see, and this sounds like I'm like some celebrity going around the place, but I'm not. But if you listen to the show and you know who I am, please come and tell me and say that you enjoy the show, and ask if you have an idea and you'd like a certain guest to come on. Give me your ideas and let me know. Like, don't be shy. And always come and say hello, because I just love when people say that they listen to the show, or their mom listens to the show, or dad, or uncle, or auntie, or brother, or sister. So yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure being with you, the listeners, this year, and I've loved every moment. It's been a highlight of my week. So yeah, I guess. It's funny. I'm always trying to think like what's the best way to finish a show, like when it's kind of like I'm not going to be on the air for another 4 months. There really isn't any great way to finish it. It's just kind of to say goodbye. So thank you so much again to everyone, listeners, producers, guests, co-hosts. And I cannot wait to be back again on the air in September. I have big ideas. I'm going to come up with more ideas over the summer. And Talking Tunes with Timmy is going to be bigger. It's going to be better. Can it get any better? No, it can. And I can't wait for it. It's going to be so fun. But for now, I'm going to leave you on my favorite artist of all time. Her name is Tracy Chapman. And this song is called Talking Bed Revolution. And this is for Skull Niklaus. Yeah, shout out to you guys. Enjoy your day.
Don't you know that talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper? Don't you know? Talking about a revolution, it sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know? Talking about a revolution, it sounds. People gonna rise up, get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, 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 run.
Talking about a revolution, oh no. Talking about a revolution.